Bad bug, bad bug. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you?
That's Bad Boys?
Bad bug.
Bad bug? Oh, that was our surprise audio. Welcome back. My guest today from Lens Pest Control is not Dan Lens, who has been on the program before. And Dan Lens, Lens Pest Control, has been a sponsor from day one of my program since 1998. First show, November 15th, 1998. And when I started in real estate in 1988, I met him about a couple of years later. And he's pretty much been my go-to pest control guy since then. So he was working with him for about 8 years, started the radio program, and then he jumped on board. And like a rat on a ship, he has not jumped ship. He's been with me he's a sponsor, and now joining me is his main guy, head of the rodent division, Dale Shreve. Welcome to Radio Real Estate.
Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. I've had a long history of rats and in my house and all, and it's going to be very interesting to talk a little bit about rats and gophers and rodents and what you guys do. First of all, is essentially two divisions. You got Lens Pest Control basically comes out and he does termites.
Mm-hmm.
And so you differ how?
Well, I actually handle everything but termites, everything that doesn't eat wood. So I take care of ants and cockroaches and gophers and rats, pretty much everything that you can find around your property that doesn't eat wood. The only thing I don't really deal with much is wildlife, like raccoons and that sort of thing. But pretty much run everything else.
Yeah. I once spoke to someone or got the name of someone who kind of more specializes in wildlife. I don't know if you refer people out to...
Yeah, we have several referrals. Wildlife, of course, isn't considered pests. So different licensing. They're licensed through Fish and Game, or we're licensed through Department of Pesticide Regulation. But we have several referrals that we'll give if you call the office.
So you're focusing on pests, and of course you... Prior to this, you were a divorce attorney, I guess. So it was a good transition dealing with pests. So someone calls up. So where do you start with? I mean, I know you guys have a contract with the city of Santa Barbara, so you deal with a lot of municipal buildings.
Yeah, the city actually has an IPM program that requires that they do their pest control without poison when necessary. And I've been working with them for several years, and last year was able to, you know, catch over 2,000 rats for them. And this is
live.
No, they're dead when I get them. But
no poison.
No poison's used. We take care of large areas, and also areas like City Hall and the library. So far, so good. No
what
problems.
What about those five large rats in City Hall? Have you done anything about them? No, that's a joke. I think I see, and IPM stands for?
Integrated Pest Management.
Okay. And that's to not use poison is what it basically means?
It's a theory of pest control, meaning to try other options first. So exclusion for rodents is a good one. If you can seal them out, it's better than using rat poison. Sometimes it's weather stripping under doors, but it's more of looking at all options and using poison as a last resort.
We'll talk about that because I had a buddy who was kind of a wouldn't hurt a fly kind of guy, mm-hmm. and he literally wouldn't hurt a fly, let alone a rat. So he had some issues, and there's a lot of pitfalls for using mm-hmm. poison, and I would never use it, not because I would mind killing the rat, but because of all we can talk about unintended consequences. But mm-hmm. so if someone... So you're dealing with municipalities, and you deal with the homeowners. And so, where do they start? What do you do if someone calls up and says they have a rodent or a problem like that?
Well, most people when they call, it's because they're having problems inside of the structure. They're hearing noises in their attic, so they have rodents in their garage. In which case, poison doesn't really solve that problem. Poison is, you know, better used outside, and it just reduces populations. It doesn't get rid of them. So the first thing that we suggest is a rodent inspection. We have two rodent inspectors. That's all they basically do. They're all day long. And they come out, and they'll pretty much go through the house in and out, attics, roof, sub areas, and find out how these animals are getting in. And then give you basically a blueprint of what the problem is, where they've been, and what you need to do to fix it.
So if someone is kind of handy and they hire you, how much does this inspection cost?
And it starts at $70 an hour, and usually most houses are about $70, but if you have a large house and guest house and pool house, it could be more, but an average size home is about $70. You know, of course, the more that they talk with us, the more it costs, but we have a streamlined program that we can get in and out most places in about an hour.
Typical house.
And, yeah. And then we deliver a report of our findings. So if you are a handyman type person and you decide to take on this work yourself, you'll have a list of all the problem places and even what we think you need to do to fix them. We also provide a bid for us to do that work. I have a full-time tech. All he does all day is seal houses. We have a guarantee if we do it. We don't guarantee it if you do it. So,
and you guarantee it. As a matter of fact, I've experienced talking with Dale Shreve from Lenz Pest Control. They have a website, lenzpest.com, lenzpest.com, or you can call their office at 962-9151, 962-9151. Just through happenstance and selling real estate, there was a house up on the Riviera that had a large crawl space and no attic. So there you guys came out, you call it block and trap?
You know, we call it rodent proofing or rodent blocking. That's the process of sealing all those holes we found. One of the benefits of having a technician that does this all day, all the time, is when he sees an opening, he knows how to fix it in the right way, and so that everything we seal is pretty much permanent. Exactly. You had a problem in your sub area. We come out, we figure out where they're coming in, we seal the holes up, we trap for a short period of time after to make sure that nothing was trapped in it, you know, when we sealed the house up, and then usually it's problem solved.
Well, and that's what happened up here. The house was coming on the market or was on the market, or maybe it was coming on the market. And so we disclosed that you were out there. We had the report. You fixed it. But being the obsessive anal guy that I am, I had you guys leave like two or three traps down there. And I left them there for months. And, you know, they didn't come back. And if they came back, I guess she would have called you and you guys would go back and just recheck again. Maybe something new came up or whatever.
We try to find everything during that initial inspection, but there are some things that are very difficult to find and that don't exist on most houses. And this can be even broken plumbing underneath the house. It could be conduits that bring power or take, you know, power out of the house. So during our regular inspections, we're finding all of the problems that can come in from the exterior of the house. Our guarantee covers all the other problem. So if you called me up and said you're still having trouble, then we start plan B, is looking for those type of things.
The unusual.
And if we find them, they're usually fairly easy to fix, and we usually would just fix them at that point while we were doing that.
Right. So you bid on it, you do the job, you give someone a blueprint, they either do it themselves, you give them a bid, you guarantee your work, you get rid of these rats blocking and trapping them. It's funny you mentioned the garage. I was driving over here talking to my buddy Jeff in Redlands. And he found rat, you know, droppings or evidence or something in his garage. And he's kind of, he leaves his garage door open. And occasionally, you know, he doesn't always, you know, he keeps maybe little wrappers and food and something in there. So he tried to, he can actually go down to the Redlands, I don't know if it's the Humane Society or something, but they'll actually loan a trap to catch him live. So if you had like, if you had one rat, you know, you catch him live.
Yeah, we don't catch them live ourselves, but it's definitely a possibility. They sell those traps at hardware stores around here.
To catch them live?
To catch them live. They're called have-a-heart traps. The problem is then what do you do with a live rat? If you take it outside and you let it go and you haven't sealed up the opening it came in, it just comes right back. And also, with live traps, they have to be dealt with quickly. If you leave the animal in there for very long, it's going to be injured or dead when you get to it at that point. So it requires a lot of attention. It's best done by a homeowner or someone like that. When you call me, my purpose is to get the job done and get it done as quickly as possible. And live trapping could take a long time. And again, like I said, if you don't address the real problem, which is the holes that are left open in the roof or the vent that needs new screen on it, They just keep coming back.
And is it true, too, over the years, you know, I talked to Dan and different people about it, and I got real heavy into it because I had them in my attic and out in my car, which we talk about. But they, once they find a place, a way in, they kind of leave a trail and a scent so the others can follow. Is that accurate? Or
yes, well, it's similar to a dog. If you have a dog and you take it for a walk, you know, every bush that a dog before it had walked by urinated on, that dog's interested in that. So rats do the same thing. They leave urine and feces that attract other rats. So the first rat finds his way in. The second rat follows the first rat. And so when you were talking about cars, one of the best things that you can do when you have a car problem is have the engine steam cleaned or use a degreaser, because the rat has left a scent inside of that engine compartment that will attract other rats to come. So even if you catch that rat, you're soon to have more trouble. So you really need to deal with the scent, especially with a car, something like that where you can't seal it up. That would be critical.
You know, that's a great suggestion. And I do want to talk about rats in the cars, because I had it a couple years ago, and they had to replace some wiring. They chewed through the wiring. The check engine light came on. And but they didn't suggest that. And there are some car washes that you can legally steam clean the engine or take it someplace or degrease it, because that's kind of a toxic thing to do. So, but there are a couple places where they treat it and get rid of it. And that's a great idea. I didn't think of that.
Well, most people don't find out that rats are in their car until something goes wrong with it. And I've seen Ferraris, damaged Mercedes. Mercedes actually seems to be the most hit car that I come across.
Well, Santa Barbara, we got high-class rats.
Exactly.
You know, let's go around with a Toyota.
Yeah. So what happens? It's, again, the first rat found his way in. It's probably because, you know, at night right now, it's getting in the low 30s. You park your car, that engine stays hot for quite a long time. And so the first rat comes in because he needs some heat and he needs some warmth. He finds that. He finds it's a nice harborage. It's a place you can sleep and not get eaten by something else. Pretty soon there's a accumulation of that feces and urine that just will continuously attract them.
Sadly, I hope you're not eating breakfast or a snack. But yeah, I mean, I fixed it a couple of years ago. The wiring harness changed, and I mean, because at night they're out roving, but they're not out all night. I mean, if they come in and find it, why would they kind of come in just after dark? Wouldn't they want to be out, or what's?
Well, they are nocturnal. And if you really think about their desires, what they need is a place to sleep during the day. So you've never walked around and seen a rat sleeping on a sidewalk or on a bench somewhere out in the open. If they did that, they'd get eaten immediately by something. So they need to find four walls and a roof that provide them safety during the day for them and their babies. And a car provides that. Sometimes with cars, it's just a matter of parking it in a different spot. If you park it, you know, next to a bunch of ivy that has a bunch of rats in there, you're more likely to have trouble than in. If you're 25, 30 feet away from that.
It's an excellent point. That was one I learned from, look at this. Here's a text. Sorry to interrupt.
No problem.
Because on the introduction of the program, every program I say with talent on loan from, what do I say?
California.
I say the California Department of Real Estate, which is DRE, Department of Real Estate. And someone has texted me saying that I'll need to change your intro, talent on loan, from the Bureau of Real Estate, since they are going to be changing the name to the BRE, as in Bureau, because it's being changed under the Department of Consumer Affairs. That is a great, great point. And I actually had that down to talk about at one point in time. I almost did it today when I was rattling off some things I might talk about. Because there's a whole thing, if you order cards now, you don't want to say, you know, you have to say your DRE license number. I don't know why they even require that. I don't know why license number isn't sufficient for a guy's business card.
Right.
When I put on my driver's license. And so it's BRE, DRE. I can't believe they're changing it. I guess they have to, but it's just. So that's a very good point. That's a very good point. So what about all the programs that are on the podcast where I said, apartment, can you go back and edit all those? Just a few hundred, several hundred. I'll probably get a fine. Talking with Dale Shreve, He's over at Lens Pest Control. He heads the division of the rodent control division, I guess. And you can contact them at 962-9151. And again, they're online at lenspest.com, L-E-N-Z. And Dan Len's been a sponsor of the program since its inception in 1998. So they're looking, the rats are out there in the car looking for a place. We should take a break because we'll come back and I'll tell you about my car story. You were just saying, just move the car. That was what the dealer told me.
Yeah, it's an option.
Because if you leave your car, if you don't use your car for a few days and it's sitting there, they can sense maybe a stable environment. So we'll talk about that when we come back. We'll talk more about rats in the cars, and I'll tell you about what I did for my pacifist friend. Gave me all these ideas. And some people will say it doesn't work. It seemed to work. But then about two years later, I opened up my hood and saw pellets on the manifold right around the time when my check engine light went on. But I think I might have a bad, what's on the exhaust that helps clean the exhaust? The catalytic converter. We'll see about that. So we'll come back and talk more with the Lens Pest Control Division, Rodent Division. Rats, and maybe we can get in a little bit on gophers. My pacifist friend had an invention that he was working on, and I'll ask your opinion on that.
Okay.
Mark Schneiman's Radio Real Estate, RadioRealEstate.com. Hey, thanks a million for the text. That was so perfect, and so spot on. So appreciate that. You can call with a question, 452-2428, or text. Thank you very much. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.